open your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3. Actually, last week, you know, I spoke about this pressing into Christ. And I feel very strongly, in fact, as soon as I left here, I felt that we are not through with that yet. So I'm going to just continue from there. We'll read a few portions of the scriptures and then we go on. Verse 16, it said, "Let the word of Christ richly dwell in you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God." It said, "Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father." My emphasis is, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. All right, open to where we were last time, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. It's a long one, so I'll just try and select the ones I want to read. He said, "Therefore," verse 12, "having such a hope, we use great boldness in our speech and are not like Moses, who used to put a veil over his face so that the sons of Israel would not look intently at the end of what was fading away. But their minds were hardened, for until this very day, at the reading of the old covenant, the same veil remains unlifted because it is removed in Christ." That is, it is only in Christ that that veil is removed. Please notice that word as we go on reading. He said, until this very day, at the reading, that's the word I want to understand, reading of the old covenant, the same veil remains unlifted because it is removed in Christ. He said, "But to this day, whenever Moses is read," that's the word again, reading, "whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their heart. But whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away." My emphasis again, notice that this has to do with reading. I hope you are getting my point. He said, "Whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their heart. But when a person turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away." That is, he's able to understand. He said, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit, that is the Lord, is, there is liberty." He said, "But we all," now notice this, "with unveiled face, beholding in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one level of glory to another." I'm adding a few words to make it clear. From glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. Verse 18 is emphasizing something here, that there is a reading of Moses. Do you understand what I'm saying? We read that earlier. If you read verse 14 and verse 15, he said there is a reading of the old covenant. There is a reading of Moses. He said, but if you read that thing with an unveiled face, do you get the point? You will behold in the mirror the glory of the Lord. And as you see that glory, you become transformed into that same image. However, the transformation is in stages. Do you get what I'm trying to say? That's what he was saying here very clearly. He said, if you turn to Christ, the veil is removed from your eyes because the Lord is the Spirit. And where that Spirit is, there is liberty. That is the ability to see the things that were previously hidden. That's the meaning of the word liberty. It doesn't mean you do anything you like. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That is the liberty to see the things that were previously hidden, veiled. Now, he said, when you begin to behold, then you will find out that you are transformed from one level of glory to another level of glory. And this is dictated as you see the image of Christ in the things that you are seeing. I hope you are following what I'm trying to say. Now, notice something very closely here. That is, the transformation is automatic, but it is in stages. I said something to us last time that, you see, in Christ dwells the fullness of the Godhead. That is, anything that God would do for mankind or any manifestation of God that a man or a woman will see on this earth will be in direct proportion to the revelation of Christ that is inside him. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Therefore, it is a waste of a person's time, and it is a cheating on the person's existence for him to spend time in activities that do not increase the knowledge of Christ. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Because whatever you do, if it is not increasing the knowledge of Christ, if it is not showing you more of the image of Christ Jesus, then you will not be able to manifest God in deeper measures on this earth. I hope you understand my point. That is, because you see, life is in phases. We have to get that clear. There was a sermon I wrote many years ago. It's in my book, those days when I didn't have a platform to teach. But the understanding used to come to me. So I bought a big book. You know, those hardcover big book. I filled one cover to cover. I have other ones. I just kept writing. At the point in time, I started dating them. You know why I started dating, putting dates on them? Because I'll write some things. 2 years later, I'll see it in a book somewhere. Do you get my point? That if you go and read, you think I read that book. So I said, okay, let me know exactly when I wrote some things. So I started putting dates on them. And in one of those sermons I wrote one on what I call On What Do You Stand? And what do I mean when I say on what do you stand? I realized that truth is in levels. And the truth, though it is true, that can carry a child will not be able to carry an adult. I gave a very good example in that my sermon. We have a saying, or in my language, they say that the cock has perched on the rope. You know this line used for hanging clothes? That neither the rope nor the cock is at rest. Go and see. I don't know that you've seen it before. See a cock land on a rope. They swing to and fro. The thing keeps swinging until it finally gives up and drops off. But go and check a little bird land on the same rope. The thing is perfectly at rest. Or a fly perch on it. The rope won't shake. Then one day I contemplated that and I asked myself a question. I said, on what do you stand? Sometimes people are standing on revelations that are too small to carry their weight. And because God realizes that you can't, if he gives you more weight, all right, than the understanding that you have, you will crash. Both you and the understanding, the word of God will appear to have been put to shame because the thing that God wants to do in the person is far beyond the level of revelation that God has brought him to. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That's why I said you have to go from one level of glory to another. It is very important because if you don't, if you are stuck with a particular image of Christ, you know, I was talking to somebody once. Now, let me finish taking the statement before I tell you what I was discussing with the person. If you are stuck with a particular image, there is a level in life you get to and you can't go beyond that. And one thing I want you to understand is this. Once I thought seriously, I said, Lord, if truth, that is like, you know, once somebody believes in Christ Jesus, that is what is most important. Am I right? Okay. Then there are very denominations. I remember once I was sitting down talking with a very good man, a reverend father. We were discussing. We were having a meeting. And he will say something and he will say, that is Baptist theology. And then in the course of our discussion, you know, we'll be talking and they'll say, okay, that's Anglican theology. And, you know, you keep on talking. At the point in time, one of my friends said, hey, Father, there are all kinds of theologies at this rate, but as far as I'm concerned, though, I don't understand. She made a statement like, I believe that it is the truth that is more important. Not whether we can label a theology as Catholic, label a theology as Anglican, or label a theology as Baptist. The truth is that if Baptist says something, and the Anglican says something different, and one of them is definitely wrong, whether you have a good label for it or not, if you believe the wrong thing, you will not prosper by it. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? So I asked myself a question, I prayed about it, like, dear Lord, what on earth does it matter, therefore, that we get the correct theology, if I may use that expression? How does it matter? After all, we have all believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. How does it matter that I get the correct issue? Now, get my point. Number one, things are in levels. Don't forget that. The manifestation is from one level of glory to another. In fact, the Bible said that a time will come that we will see him just as he is, and then we will become exactly the way he is. That is, as you are going on in life, you will keep on seeing more of the image of Jesus Christ, which is found in the Word of God. Do you understand that point? And as you see more of that, you experience more of the manifestation of God, because in him, the Bible says, dwells the fullness of the Godhead. So if God is going to manifest himself on the earth, you know, the Bible says that this was the meaning of the word Emmanuel, God that is living amongst us, God with us. Are you getting my point? What he was saying is that when you see Jesus Christ, what you will have seen is an exact representation of God himself. Now, when I say exact representation, you see, God has infinite glory and is infinite in the majesty of his person. Therefore, this creation, what we call earth right now, cannot contain that. No, it just makes sense. The earth is too small. Now, the extent to of God that the earth could contain is what was manifested in the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope you are following my point. That's why the Bible says, if you have your Bible, if you quickly run over to Hebrews chapter 1, he was describing Jesus there. He said that he is the radiance of his glory, and I use the New American Standard, and I like the expression here. He said he is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature. And he opposed all things by the word of his power. What I want to understand is that word, exact representation of his nature. That is how God will respond when he meets challenges. You want to know? Go and check how Jesus responded when he met those challenges. Do you get my point? That when God is a human being, what he will look like exactly is what Jesus Christ was like. Now, we said that whatever Jesus achieved in his bodily flesh, that spirit that was generated by his walk on the earth, listen to this again, there was a spirit generated by his walk on the earth which ended in the death on the cross, all right, and the burial. And then when everything had been accomplished, at a point in time, he was raised up from the dead. And Paul described a release of power, which he calls the power of his resurrection. I hope you are getting what I'm trying to say. Now, everything that was released in that power of the resurrection, we said, can easily be expressed in one word, Christ. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Now, the manifestation of God, all right, just like it was in the life of Jesus, is available to every believer. Because if you study this Hebrews chapter 1 into chapter 2, he explained that he did all of those things to bring many sons to glory. That is so that they also will be able to manifest God on the earth. So that you will say that he is the representation of the nature of God. And you are talking about the Christian. Now, the exactness of that representation, that's another issue. The Bible says it goes from one level of glory to another. Are you following my point? But that thing increases as you see the image of God. Now, there's something I want you to understand in all these things I'm saying. There's one scripture I want to quickly look for. Let me see whether I can find it. And, you know, I was saying that, so, if it is true that the basic thing, all right, is that we have come to believe in Jesus Christ. So I was praying and asking that, what does it matter, therefore, that we get the right doctrines? Do you get my point? What does it matter that we get the right theology? Now, before I read that scripture, let me quickly explain what it matters or how it matters. What it means is this. You see, there's something about God and the Christian. God wants to live his life through every one of his children. The problem he has, again and again, and we have explained this, is what the Bible calls many devices. It said God made men upright, but they have sought out many devices. That there are times God wants to do things, all right? But people are unable, no, let me say like this, he's unable to do them because people have hindered the manifestation of God. That if you read the scriptures, we find out that all you can do actually is to hinder the manifestation of God in your life. Listen, you cannot actively bring down the manifestation of God. The best you can do is to remove the hindrance. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That Isaiah chapter 40 says that, it said, make straight a path for the Lord in the wilderness. Then the glory of God will be revealed. Which gives me an impression that the glory of God is like a water in a dam. It's like water in a dam, ready to burst, but it's been dammed. The moment you put a hole in that dam, it starts shooting forward. If you break forth the whole dam, then you don't need to beg the water to come down. Do you get my point? Now, this is what I'm saying. What happens is the things that men do prevent that expression, or let me say, it prevent. Remember the word is what? Veil. That they cannot see Christ in everything that is going on. So, if they imbibe wrong doctrines, it prevents them from seeing Christ properly. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? If they imbibe, I'm going to give you as a very practical example. Some time ago, I was going to church in Lagos, and my pastor was shouting, cover, 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 cover. That, what was this nonsense about cover? So I had never heard the word cover before, so I didn't understand what I was saying. Then later on, I began to encounter the word cover, all right? For those of you who don't know, it's a very popular doctrine in Pentecostal circles that you need a man of God as a covering over your head. Now, it's a lie. You understand my point? It's not true. Okay? It's popular, but it's inaccurate. It's inaccurate. You have to understand that, like I was saying, truth is in levels. You understand? There are truths that can't carry you beyond a particular level. There are things that belong to childhood. Yes, that thing at best belongs to infancy. Do you understand my point? Because the covering of every man, the Bible says, is Christ. You have to get that point. Now, I'm trying to get something across to you here. So, I've heard people say, maybe they are praying or they are talking, and they will tell you that, except your pastor is blessed, you cannot be blessed. Now, I have to say that you have to pray that your pastor will prosper. Because if he doesn't prosper, you cannot prosper. Now, look, you hear it. It's very common in Pentecostal circles. That this is a covering over your head. And I'll be looking at them like, what? Do you really believe this or you're trying to be funny? No, I'm using that as an example. Now, what that does, if you don't get the right doctrine, is that it shuts off the image of Christ from before your eyes, beyond the one that a man can reflect. Do you get my point? And listen, there is a depth of the manifestation of God that is cut off from your life permanently by that. The interesting thing is that you may never find out. You know, let me tell you something about God and his work with men. A man can be blessed, doesn't mean he manifested God perfectly as God wanted him to. Let me give an example. You know, if you read your Bible, you know that God loved David. Loved David so much, he used to brag about him. He started, in fact, that word David in the Bible a lot of times refers to Jesus Christ. It will talk about the sure mercies of David. Somebody will tell you, my servant David. He was not even talking about the David that lived. He was talking about Jesus Christ. But to show you the depth of affection that God had for David. But, you know, David was married. When it came to the issue of marriage, God carefully avoided using him as a reference. Say, hey, Joe, please, in that area, it's an embarrassment. But in his generation, he did the will of God for his life. Are you getting my point? Do you know that it was not God's perfect plan that David should become so old that a young girl would have to lie beside him to keep him warm? Moses was 120. His eyes did not grow dim. David went to battle, and at a point in time, he was at risk. Yet, when Caleb was 80 years old, he faced giants. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That despite the fact that David, there were records about the life of David, that God loved that guy with a passion. Yet, you will know that his life was not a complete manifestation of God. You understand my point? There were areas in which God just used him as an example. A lot of times in life, men are blessed. They are blessed, but then God knows that, yes, you are impressed because you have never seen blessing. Do you understand my point? I remember once I was in school, we saw a child when children emergency posting. So we said, oh, this child is fat. And the registrar looked at us. He said, that's you people's problem. You have never seen a healthy, well-nourished child. You think this child is fat. He said, this is a normal child. All the other ones you have been seeing are underweight. You know, really, this was a hospital. You know, we've gotten used to seeing children. You know, it's pediatrics. Children's what? Then one day they brought is a healthy child that mistakenly fell sick. You know what I'm saying? And we're like, wow, look at how chubby and chunky this child is. Because what's wrong with all of them? They have not yet seen real blessings. So when they saw something close to it for the first time, all of them were flummoxed. You understand what I'm trying to say? And that is something about God. What am I saying? There are times that you want to tell to people about sound doctrine. I've had discussions with people before, and they said that, yes, this man believes like this, at least he's getting results. You don't understand that the inaccuracy of his doctrine allowed his results that far. If he had gotten his act correctly, he would have gone beyond that level. Do you follow my point? I was in a place once, a man, tell you what, he's been so blessed by this man of God, who incidentally has also blessed me so much. He said he's been so blessed that right now he doesn't think again. That once a man says something, he just believes it is true. That is, this man has become my covering. Do you understand my point? Therefore, anything he utters is true. Yet, some of the things that the man was uttering at that point in time, I believe very strongly they were false. They were inaccurate. And I could show anybody who had head that he was willing to use that they were. You know, there are people who have head, they are not willing to use it. I hope you are getting my point. I'm explaining something here that God said that. Now we are talking about this issue of Christ. If your doctrine is inaccurate, what it does for you is to shut off a look. You will get to realize Christ to a particular point, and you cannot see him further. Okay, there was a story I was going to say earlier, which I said, let me finish what I want to say, and before I get into it. One day, a brother visited me. We grew up under the same circumstances, word of faith and everything. And I was just having a discussion with him. Then we seemed to be disagreeing on every point. Then he made a statement. He said, Banky, I don't know what happened to you, but you didn't used to talk like this before. I said, well, that is true. But I wanted to tell him, though I didn't, that but your own problem is that you have refused to leave that level of knowledge we operated by 10 years ago. Your own is that you refuse to grow. I appear to you now to be in trouble. I remember he sent me some tapes as if to wake me up to the real gospel again. But I listened to it and I said, this guy doesn't understand what I'm saying. We're having some discussion on some issues. Yes, I understood, and that's one thing about having good knowledge. He's telling me things that I know. But in addition to that, I know something else. And the something else I know, he's not even aware of. Within the limit of what he knew, it appeared as if that was all. You know, I remember once I was having a discussion with some people who also in that kind of movement, understanding. They'll tell you something like, the Bible says, if you ask, God will answer. So anytime you are confused, pray and God will speak to you. I said, answer means that if you are hungry and you pray, somebody will dash you bread, and that will have been the instrument of God. You will follow my point. I tried to bring some depths of truth and understanding to people, but they rejected it because it was not in accordance with what we used to believe those days. But like I said, it's not as if what we believe we're actually absolutely wrong. It's just that in life, you have to move up in stages. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's why Paul said that if you think you are standing, be careful lest you fall. And if you read, I think, let's quickly go there. If you have your Bible, open to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, be on your guard so that you are not carried away by the error of unprincipled men and fall from your own steadfastness. That is, their error will cause you to fall from your own steadfastness. He said, but this is the defense. Now, before I read the defense, let me just explain a scriptural principle. Usually when God says, don't do this, gives you what you should do actively. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That is, sometimes it tells you not to do what is actually beyond your control. Let me give an example. If somebody is falling from a building, you know, you can't tell him, don't fall. You know why? He's already falling. You understand my point? So he said, don't fall from the top of a building. Then you ask, that is gravity under my control? He said, but do not go near the edge. You understand what I'm trying to say? That's how God does it. The way by which you will fulfill that, then he will tell you something practical to do. This word of the law, of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night. That is, when you talk about it day and night, that is the way by which you not depart. And that way, it will by itself sit inside your heart. Now, get what I'm saying here. It said, be on your guard so that you are not carried away by the error of unprincipled men and fall from your own steadfastness. This is the defense. But, do you understand? Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Did you notice that word? The only way by which you will not fall is to grow. It is not to maintain what you already knew. I don't know whether you're getting what I'm trying to say. It is not to maintain what you knew, but to continue getting more. To continue moving from one level of glory to another. That is the only assurance of steadfastness. Do you follow my point? Therefore, people tell you, look, return to the basics. I say it is good to return to the basics. All right? If you have lost the basics. But please don't stay there. You understand what I'm trying to say? Listen. We all went to primary school. 1 + 1 has become part of us. 2 × 5, you don't have to think about it. How will you like it? Somebody say, look, I want all of you to be grounded. Return back to primary school. Say, to go and do what now? I hope you are getting what I'm trying to say. The only guarantee of steadfastness, the Bible says, is a continual increase in the knowledge of our God, which is what causes a manifestation of grace. I hope you get my point. It said, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You are following me? So I was explaining that this thing is from glory to glory. There's a scripture I said I wanted to read. What I want to bring out is the fact that he explains that if you engage in doctrines that are inaccurate, do you understand my point? That it denies you something. You understand? There is a spiritual substance that is denying you. All right, Colossians chapter 2, verse 16. He said, therefore, let no one, he said, no one is to act as your judge in regard to food or drink or in respect of a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath day, things which are a mere shadow of what is to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. He said, let no one keep defrauding you, that's it, of your prize by delighting in self-abasement and the worship of angels, taking his stand on visions he has seen, inflated without cause by his fleshly mind, not holding fast to the head, from whom the entire body, being supplied and held together by the joints and ligaments, grows with a growth which is from God. Thank you very much. He said, if you have died with Christ to the elementary principles of the world, why, as if you were living in the world, do you submit yourself to decrees such as do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, which all refer to things destined to perish with use, in accordance with the commandments and teachings of men. These are matters which have, to be sure, the appearance of wisdom in self-made religion and self-abasement and severe treatment of the body, but are of no value against fleshly indulgence. Are you noticing this? Does this not describe a lot of our denominations today? I think it does. A lot, they just fall into one part of this or another. Are you getting my point? It's either somebody wakes up with a strange revelations, and therefore, you know, I don't want to start mentioning names because we have to put these things on recording. I know, I mean, you don't want to offend people. But this is what I want to understand. Like I was telling you then, it's not a matter of whether this is a Baptist, Anglican, Catholic, or Celestial Church of Christ theology. The issue is whether it is an accurate representation of Christ Jesus. And if it is not, you are wasting your time. You understand what Bonham and I make? It doesn't matter who claims that God spoke to him. Anything that is not, and this is where I'm bringing all of these things together. Whatever it is that we hold on to, that is not causing a manifestation, that is an understanding of the person of Christ Jesus, then we are missing the point. I hope you are following what I'm trying to say. I gave that other one as an example. That when we say that issue of cover, when people carry things that belong to babyhood and make it a standard, you know, sometimes people ask you the first question they want to know, who acts as a cover over? People have asked me things like that before. You know, like they want to know who is the cover over your head, because that's supposed to show the authenticity of your ministry. No, but it's Aaron Baldada. She doesn't mean anything. You're learning what I'm trying to make. You know, so people will tell you that Elijah anointed Elisha. Then you didn't ask them the question, who anointed Elijah? No, you get my point. Moses laid hands upon Joshua. Who laid hands upon Moses? Do you get my point? They said, no, maybe Jethro, all of us have been blessed by somebody. So there's one man of God that also blessed me long ago. So don't claim that Jethro was the head over Moses. He wasn't. But I don't want to emphasize the issue of this cover thing. But if I just make a statement to close it, men can help you understand Christ. You understand my point? But the head of every man is Christ Jesus. Do you get the point? So I'm just explaining that inaccuracies of doctrines prevents people from seeing the image of Christ. And even though a man is blessed, do you follow my point? Within the limits that he has seen, God is saying that there is a level I would have taken him to if he would have just rearranged his eyes to see better. I hope you are getting what I'm trying to say. Remember, we started by saying that with unveiled face, let's go back there. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Remember, it said, there is a reading of the old covenant, and people who have not yet turned to Christ Jesus, what happens is that they are unable to make any sense out of what they are reading. Do you understand my point? But if you have turned to Christ and he has enlightened your eyes, you will read, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and Revelation will hit you, bam. You understand my point? Then you will see things that will turn your life around. One man of God said something once. If you read from maybe Matthew, and Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and they were begatting and begatting for the next many verses. He said, there is enough revelation in that begat to heal a sick man. That is, if you read the begat, and God opens your eyes, you will be amazed at what is in there to heal a sick body. Do you get my point? I remember many years ago when I was a young Christian, a man would carry, I remember the first time somebody said, the Egyptians that you see no more was Ayori Jafo. I was watching him on TV. I was a very young Christian then. I was in university. And the man was preaching with fervor. I kept on looking. In this one verse, hey, yeah, God, bad God. The man was going to talk about what you see and what you do not see and what you will see as a consequence. Say, yeah, this simple verse. Then if you tell people like us, of course, they prepare sermons to preach to who now? I couldn't prepare them, but then they say, quiet time, quiet time, quiet time. And that takes me to the next point. They say, have your quiet time. You know why they used to have quiet time? You know, I'm very blunt. Me, I won't deceive you. Because it was very boring. There was nothing there to... What am I quietly receiving? Nothing. They say you have to receive from God in the morning. And God seems to sleep longer than me sometimes when I'm doing the quiet time. Thank God he neither sleeps nor slumber. What I mean is that I am reading. He's not even there to say, okay, see, no, nothing. I don't know whether you're getting what I'm trying to say. That is, my eyes were not open enough to see anything. Are you getting my point? But there's something I want you to understand, which, in fact, I think is a good point to connect this thing I'm saying. But before I connect, let me just conclude here. Remember that it's a matter of from one level to another. Do you get my point? It's a matter of from one level of glory to another level of glory. And that the only guarantee of steadfastness is that you keep on going from one level to another. And in fact, if you remain on the same level, the law is that you're actually falling down. I hope you are understanding the point I'm making there. Now, remember that thing I said about, notice this word, Moses is read. He said there is a reading of the old covenant. I just kept on emphasizing this word reading, because God, the oldest form of communication on earth that we know, you know, is that writing and reading issue. You know, telecoms came recently, all this print and all that, and all this computer technology and all those things, they are recent issues. But from the days of Moses, people have been writing. I believe very strongly, because God has emphasized on what? Reading. Even in heaven, you know, God has books. You don't know there are books in heaven? There are. Books were opened. The Bible says there are books there. And before the days of your life, there were books that were written in heaven. I'm just trying to emphasize the word reading. Now, there's something I want to go on to emphasize from there as we in these things that we are saying. Open your Bible to the book of Acts. And I want to get a point here. Very, very important. Acts chapter 8. Now, there was a time the Spirit of God, the angel of God, spoke to Philip saying, get up, go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza. And then the Ethiopian eunuch that we all know about was coming. And verse 29, the Spirit said to Philip, get up and join this chariot. Philip ran up and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and said, do you understand what you are reading? That is the next word again. That is that same word again. Do you understand what you are reading? He was reading from the Old Testament. And the man answered, well, how could I, unless someone guides me? And invited Philip to come up and sit with him. And then, of course, the passage he was reading was from Isaiah chapter 53 and all that. And then Philip began to explain that word to him. As soon as the word came, they came near water in verse 39. And the man said, in verse 36. And as they were going, he said, look, water, what prevents me from being baptized? And then he made his confession and he was baptized. And then the Spirit of God took Philip away from before his eyes. Now, what I want to emphasize there is the word reading again. Because there is no substitute to that word. What? Reading. None. One, God had done something. Before I finish this issue of Philip, let me open your Bibles to 1 Peter again. I want to bring out a few verses. I hope we're not reading too many verses of the scriptures. Even if we are, better get used to it. It's good. All right. So verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Now, he said, in this you greatly... let us jump down to verse 10 now. As to this salvation, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that would come to you made careful searches and inquiries, seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating as he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. Let me read that again. He said, seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating as he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. Notice those two words, those two phrases, sufferings of Christ, the glories to follow. He said, it was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, in these things which now has been announced to you through those who preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. I want to emphasize something here. Notice that the gospel was preached by the prophets who prophesied of the grace that will come to you. Notice that word. The gospel were preached by whom? The prophets. I just want to quickly debunk something again. A lot of times we Christians are told that what belongs to us is written in the New Testament, and the things in the Old Testament actually belong to the Jews. And as a Christian, you should spend more time reading the New Testament. Let me just quickly tell you that if you abide by that injunction, you will be limited in the level of glory that you can ever see of Christ Jesus. Are you getting what I'm going to say? Because the Bible says clearly that the prophets prophesied before Jesus Christ came. Do you understand my point? And the words that they prophesied were not for the Jews. The Bible said those words were for, they were told when they were making their careful search, that those words were for those of us who will live in this time. I hope you are getting what I'm going to say. Verse 12, it said, it was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, in these things which have now been announced to you through those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit. Now, Paul said that I am an apostle of the gospel that was preached by the prophets. Do you understand my point? Now, let's go back to where I was. Acts chapter... Don't bother opening your Bible. I just want to refer to it again. Where we're reading just now. Acts chapter 8. Now, what I want to bring out is this. Reading from the Old Testament, the eunuch didn't have understanding. Number one reason being the fact that he had not yet turned to Christ. All right? But there's something I want to bring out there. Remember that it says from glory to glory. And when a man first turns to Christ also, that's why I was telling my story earlier, the same thing still applies. He doesn't see much. Do you get my point? And when this man came, asked the eunuch, what? He said, I do not understand what I am reading. He said, do you understand what you are reading? He said, how can I, except somebody helps me to understand? Now, this is very, very important. Because then, I was telling you about quiet time. I am one person that they say quiet time, quiet time, quiet time. I didn't really know what they were talking about. I tried it, and don't think I didn't try it. It was a matter of, in fact, I remember the first time one man said that, I think Oswald J. Smith, said that he had his own quiet time after breakfast. Man, for me, that was a relief. It wasn't because of the food. It was the sleep that was my issue. Because when I wake up early and I kneel down to study and pray, I usually go back into the next round of sleep. And is that, let's be frank. You know, Christians like to deceive themselves. They make you look like my quiet time is right in the presence of God. It's a lie. The guy was asleep. No, it's a fact. Look, if it has never happened to you, get up and say, that here I am. I've never experienced it. Thank God all of you are sitting down. Nobody's getting up. Because it's a fact. So when he said that, to me, it was a relief. So it is possible to have a bath, all right? Eat light breakfast before you have quiet time. I said, praise God, all right? But this is what I'm saying. For me then, it was definitely not a time of revelation. It was a boring time. It appeared as if God used to oversleep on the day that I want to talk to him. But thank God he didn't used to sleep. But the reality was that there was no life coming out of the pages to me. Do you get my point? All right, so how did you learn? People have asked me again and again, how did you study? I have found out my own experience is this principle of this Ethiopian eunuch. How can I accept somebody helps me? What I had was a lot of help. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Believe me, what you are having right now, as you are sitting down listening to me talk, is help. I hope you are getting my point. I am not a cover over your head. If you have a problem, I can help you. That's not my point. But what I am doing is what? Helping you to see that face of Christ. Paul said, I have espoused you to nobody else but Christ Jesus. Not to my denomination. There are people that, I may not mention names. But there are denominations, eh? Let's tell ourselves the truth, because we Christians can misbehave. They look at other believers. I can name three. Two who are choice culprits, you know that my point? They are the choice criminals in that regard. If you are not in their church, you can't persuade them that you are born again. You can't. And then there's a third one which I shall not mention, which a friend of mine was very highly involved in. He pastors for them. He said, when you hear them talk, they will tell you that the founding father of this church, God told him that Jesus was coming back to meet that church on the earth. And they took it in a literal fashion that this denomination, Jesus Christ, is coming back to meet in Nigeria. I say, if that is the case, not for all those of us in China and South Korea, where people have not yet spread to. This gospel of these denominations that you preach to the end of the world, then the end shall come. That's the way they read it. But no, that's not supposed to be. I'm just putting that one by the side. All right? Now, get this point. You can attend church anywhere. Okay? But don't be fooled that depending on what we believe, that is what I abide by. The issue is that if Anglicans and Catholics disagree on a particular point according to their theology, the chances are that both of them are wrong or one person is wrong. Do you get my point? So whoever is wrong had better learn the right thing. I hope you follow my point. I read that scripture in Colossians chapter 2 earlier to bring out the fact that the Bible says you can be denied of a prize by believing the wrong thing. I've heard people say that it doesn't matter. God knows those who are serving him. The people serving him are better know also. You know what I want to say? You had better know. And you know the interesting thing? If you are sincere in your interest in knowing, you will know. The issue is this matter of daily revelation. That's the point we are making. Remember one day we explained one principle here about overcoming evil spirits. I said that what God does, you see, 1 Corinthians, 1 John chapter 1, he explained that if we say we have no sin, we call him a liar. We are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. What he was saying is that every time there is an entrance of truth, it will reveal a place where Christ has not been revealed in your life. And then you go to God, and we'll talk about that again in a short while, in confession that, God, this is an area where I'm falling short. Then God gives you a word which shows you the image of Christ, and you're automatically transformed into that image in that area. I hope you are getting what I'm trying to say. Now, let me just sit down with this thing I'm saying. That personally, what I had, all right, was a lot of help. And I still get help. How do I understand? I remember those days, quiet time, I forgot the idea of trying to get revelation from Isaiah, even from Paul. Do you know how difficult Paul's writings were? You know how difficult they were? Oh, no, quickly. 2 Peter chapter 3. No, quickly. Paul was guaranteed to kill people with his words. That is, if you are not careful. Where we're reading just now. Peter was talking about the day of the Lord, which will come like a thief. 2 Peter chapter 3. Then he got down to verse 14. He said, therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found in him, by him in peace, spotless and blameless. Regard the patience of our Lord as salvation. Just as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given him, wrote to you, as also in all his letters, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which the untaught and unstable distort, as they do also the rest of the scriptures, to their own destruction. You never noticed? Peter, that he saw Jesus before Paul got born again. You know what I'm trying to say? He read what Paul wrote. He said, some things inside here are hard to understand. So, listen. Even Peter understands why your Bible has not been making sense. If remember what we read earlier. He said the prophets prophesied and God gave them the inability to understand. I didn't say ability. After prophesying, all God gave them was... All God gave them was an inability to understand. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So, to get help is scriptural. And listen, if you are looking sincerely for help, God will find you help. For me, those days, Quiet Time was a mini book by Ken Hagin. What's my problem with Paul? Book of Romans. If Ken Hagin didn't refer to it, I didn't read it. The only verses in the Book of Romans or Philippians that I knew were the ones Ken Hagin and Kenyon quoted. And there's nothing wrong with it, believe me. Like I said, it's from one level to another. I remember those days, you talk to some people. They said that they only read the Bible, and it's obvious they only read the Bible. When you see them, they don't know anything. I remember one brother those days. Not only does he read only the Bible, look at his first error, that he only reads the King James. You know he does not know anything. Any man who tells you I only read King James is confused, is absolutely ignorant. Of all the popular translations right now, King James is possibly the most inaccurate. I mean, when a man just talks like that, you know the boy does not know anything. He really doesn't know anything. He has had no help. Do you get my point? He said, because that's the one authorized. It was authorized by a king and created a church called the Church of England. It was not authorized by a spirit-filled man. He was authorized by a man who wanted to satisfy his marital ideas. Oh, you never knew? Oh, you think Anglican Church came out of Revelation? It was a matter of marriage. Oh, look at them looking surprised. Oh, the Pope said you can't marry. The guy said, I will show the Pope that I'm the king in this place. He drove away all the Catholicism there and founded his own. That's why they are so different. Because a lot of the strange doctrines that Catholics introduced later was not there when they cut off. You understand? The Catholics brought those things later. So the Anglicans, God works in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. They were spared from all kinds of doctrines. That's why they are so different. Oh, you don't know? So that king authorized the version of the Bible. Does that tell you that the version is supremely inspired? No, it doesn't tell you anything. But there are people who hold on to the word authorized as if Jesus Christ signed, autographed every copy. Jesus took each copy and autographed it and said, this is my beloved word. No. Let me just get back to what I'm saying. No, but you see them, they say they don't read anything. Then they start quoting for you. That's Mitsuku's word. Never read any other book apart from the Bible. How you manage... Honestly, it's his own. But you will notice that the guy used to attend conferences and conferences and conferences and listen to other people. Do you get my point? As far as I look, all I did was carry a book. And my God, did I learn? Yes, incredibly. And God, in his infinite wisdom and everlasting kindness, always sent books my way. I read Ken Hagin until, if Ken Hagin talks, I can correct him on some things he said. That no, God, that is not how the story happened. How do you know? I open a page of the book to show him. It's his own book. No, I'm telling you. EWK, we ate everything. That is, I'm talking about getting help. Derek Prince will jack his book cover to cover. I mean, kept on reading. That was where we took our springboard from. Do you get my point? Then after that, you will pick a scripture and then you will be able to make sense out of it. That glory began to change. Let me be honest with you. I got to a point that 95% of the books that I picked were useless to me. One day I got so worried, I talked to a friend. He told me, relax, that is the way it is. That it will get to a point that you will find it hard, that it's just normal with life. What am I saying? Those books, in fact, there were books I read long ago. When I saw them after, I rushed them. I said, you mean I read this book and I was excited at the point in time? Some of them, it was like, You know, as understanding had come, you realize that you only picked one truth and the book was 90% errors. I hope you are getting my point. I'm trying to bring something to everybody here. That listen, the quickest way to see the face of Christ, all right, is to get help. That help is what we are discussing. It is found in books everywhere, tapes everywhere, CDs, all kinds of things. And as far as I am concerned, a Christian who does not take time out to study books that have been written by men of God is which word now? Not only ignorant, it's an unserious person. Yes, that's the word I was looking for. Absolutely unserious. There are Christians who will see that they can watch two movies nonstop. They can't read a mini book. You understand? And you know, they like free materials. They will never spend money on it. Look, and the only thing I give out free, like that to most people, attracts. Anything beyond that, you either have to pay or show me the seriousness. I don't know, one day I was traveling. Policeman said, waiting there your boot. I was going for a seminar in Benin. That was last year. I opened my boot. He saw boxes of tracts and books. So I gave him some tracts. He saw a book, very nice book. He took one. So he said, thank you very much. I said, thank you for what? You want the book? You give me $100. The man thought I was joking. I said, officer, you want that book? 100 naira. He thought I was joking. I collected my book, threw it back in my boot, locked my boot, entered my car. Officer, the tract is free. As for the book, no, I'm not giving you free. Do not cast your pearls before swine. Those things have value. I hope you are getting the point I'm going to make. That is, where a man's treasure is, there will his heart be also. What you cannot spend money on, you don't have value for it. That's your problem. And that's why when they give you free, you won't get anything out of it. Are you getting my point? Now, let me quickly balance what I'm going to say. I am not saying that everything given free, people don't get value out of it. But I'm saying a man who wouldn't spend money on it, even though you gave him free, he won't get value out of it. That's what I'm saying. And what am I emphasizing? That the aim of a Christian, now there's something I want to connect with because I don't want to carry this over to the next week. The aim of the walk with God, listen to me, is to increase in the knowledge of God. Do you understand my point? To increase in the knowledge of Christ. And as you see the face of Christ in a reading, you know, I've been emphasizing the word reading, with an unveiled face, because that prayer, like we discussed last time, is very important. You have to pray the prayer. God, I hereby turn to Christ. Open my eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of thy law. You know, David prayed that prayer. He said, open my eyes, Lord, because if God doesn't open your eyes, you know, the ability to see is a gift of God. And blindness is the gift of God raised to power minus one. You understand what I'm trying to say? I don't know how else to say it in English. Okay, blindness is also a gift of God in the other direction. Because when Isaiah began to prophesy, you know the first thing he said? He said, hear and don't understand. See and don't perceive. That was a gift from God. You understand what I'm trying to say? Now, the ability to hear and understand, to see and perceive is a gift from God. That's why David prayed. He said, open my eyes, O Lord, that I might behold wondrous things out of thy law. The guy had the book. It's an important prayer point. That's why Paul used to pray for people. He said, I pray that God might give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened, that you might know. Do you get my point? So that's point number one. Point number two is a matter of helpers. Ephesians chapter 4 said that he gave gifts unto men. He gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the edifying of the saints, so that they will be prepared to do the work of the ministry. It's for the building up of the body of Christ. God, that's why God gave gifts. I know, interesting, one thing I also know, there is nobody that knows everything. The surest way to have your life in balance is to listen to me alone. I'm telling you the truth. Your life will never be balanced. Okay, you don't believe me. Try it. It will take you time to find out, yeah? Listen, it is good that you listen to me. You understand my point? I thank God for the influence that the word that I preach is accomplishing in people's lives. You understand what I'm saying? But I will not neglect to direct you to the fact that I am not the only one that knows something to say. The surest way to get balance, all right, is to spread your tentacles wide. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Lay hold of one and don't let go of the other. That's what the Bible says. Recently, one of my friends brought Billy Akoni for me. I was very happy. I listened to Billy Akoni very well. I told you, I listened to W.F. Kumuyi. I'm not like his church. I won't go there for anything. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But I will listen to him. Even if these people don't think I'm a Christian, I don't care. I will still listen to their bishop. Do you get the point I'm making? Once somebody preaches the word of God, look, if there's something I used to tell myself, that if you see somebody like that, that has so much influence in the lives of people, just for safety's sake, just for safety reasons, go and pick a few of his books and tapes and listen to, even if it's only once, to be sure that there's nothing that God has kept there that you will never get if you don't listen to him. There is his ability, there's an ability to see the face of Christ that's inside the anointing that God has given him. You better go and collect your portion. You don't have to talk to the man. You know, that's what I'm trying to say. You don't have to talk to him. You don't have to go to his church. Especially when the people are teachers. He said, I will give you pastors after my own heart who will feed you with knowledge, with wisdom and understanding. Now, understand this point. I don't want to belabor this point, but you know, people said there are five ministry gifts: apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. I'm one of those people that believe there are only four. There's apostles, prophets, evangelists, then last of all, pastors and teachers. That is one word. Read it. You know, I even read long ago. He said, this is the way it goes in most Bibles. He gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers. That's the way it is. He didn't say he gave some as pastors and gave some as teachers. That is why I proudly call myself the pastor of Kingdom Word Ministry. Check my books. At the back, that's how I write it. What I do is teach. I don't visit you when you are sick. You know, so people, what people think is the job of a pastor. I don't wed people. I don't conduct funerals. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? People think it's the job of the pastor, but that is not true. Those are jobs of elders and deacons. If anyone sick amongst you, let him come up, call upon the elders. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil. The job of the pastors is like that of Peter, ministry of the word and prayer. Again, that's just by the way. What I want to emphasize is the fact that a man is speaking, pick your portion, is giving you help in seeing the face of Christ. And please, as Christians, let me just beg you, stop joining in running up and down in what you think is the service of God if it is not actively revealing the face of Christ to you or helping others get the face of Christ. I hope you get what I'm going to say. Because sometimes people think that it is running up and down that is pleasing God. There's something I wanted to say. As you imbibe this image of Christ Jesus, are you getting my point? What it produces in you is the automatic work of God. I hope you are getting what I'm going to say. That even when it comes to character development, if somebody is flawed in character, you know, there are all kinds of Christians. Some Christians are so terrible that if they are coming this way, you pass the other side. And you know, unfortunately, a lot of them are found in church, you know, church, inside church. But in church, everybody's bless you. God bless you, sir. God bless you, sir. It is well. Amen. Are you getting my point? Now you can't help it. Even Judas self, you know, even Judas attended the church pastored by Jesus Christ, and he still get command for it, but you follow what I'm saying. But what I just want to bring out is this. Even the issue of character development, are you getting me? It is not by trying. The man who has a faulty character, if you subject him to God's word, really, and he comes with a heart open to receive, one day he will find out that he has become a gentleman. It's not 15 steps to control your temper. No, those are books for that psychology. Do you get my point? There is a force of the spirit that kills temper in a man's life. Do you understand my point? Let me summarize what I've said so far in these few words. If you want life, you know, what must I do to gain eternal life? What must I do to have God manifested in my flesh on the earth? The Bible says, sit down and read. Do you understand what I mean? Sit down and give attention to the word of God. Sit down and you will discover that you will make your way prosperous and you will find good success. Do you understand my point? Hey, look, you know, I always feel funny when I see Christians. You go to church, there are people, do you know why they like security department? Not because they like to do security, but because they will be walking in church without listening to the message. I told the one guy in my church, I said, Akim, make sure that you put your guys on rotation. First service, do security. Second service, be inside church. I hope you are getting my point. Some people just, you know the job they like in church? Now, I'm not saying these jobs are bad, though. There are people who have to do it. But some people like it because it means they don't have to listen. Usher, you don't know, just running up and down. From beginning to the end, everybody will see you that you are there. But you don't have to hear what is going on. It is yourself that you are cheating, nobody else. I hope you are following what I'm trying to say. The main thing, the Bible says, Jesus said himself, he said, one thing is needful. That is, you must have that one thing. Without it, you are not there at all. Without it, you are not there. He said, my soul follows hard after you. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so does my soul pant after you, O God. You know what men pant after a lot of time? Activity. Listen to me. I want to give you an assignment. Make sure that every week you are reading one new book. And that, the way God helped me, I'll tell you about help those days. Now, let me tell you, thank God I'm anointed to teach. I'm anointed to teach, so that gives me a special advantage. No, really, really. There are things I preach to you. I was telling you about training to rain, this one. I was not aware that message was that anointed until one day I mistakenly put the tape inside. I said, my God, even the word was coming to me fresh. Hey, God. He! I said, whoever preached this, his man is anointed. It sounds funny, but that's exactly how I felt. No, really. I'm talking about, I know I have that advantage, okay? But apart from that, it got to a point, the Bible said that a scribe that has been instructed in the matters of the kingdom is like a keeper of the household who from his treasures bring forth treasures, both in, who from the storehouse brings forth treasures, both new and old. Listen, it doesn't happen that I settle down for 15 minutes, read a chapter of the Bible, I don't find the revelation. It doesn't happen. No, I'm not joking. No, it does not happen. But there was a time that I could read the whole book. And the Holy Spirit, you never wake this morning. Let me to go back to sleep. Maybe you shall speak in dreams. No, but that doesn't happen anymore. In fact, the most embarrassing part for me is when I am in church or anywhere and somebody says, open to Matthew chapter 5. By the time I read 5 verses, I have stopped. You see me turning around, trying to write something down. It is not what the man is saying. Is something has or something just landed somewhere? Oh my God, things doing me like current. But there was a time that all I needed was what? Help. Do you get my point? And any believer that's not reaching out for that help is not a serious person. That's my conclusion. Do you understand my point? So my charge to you is, please, it should have a budget for it. Books, tapes. If you like video, good, whichever one. But don't say, I don't enjoy it. Something is wrong with your cerebral cortex. How can you say you don't enjoy eating when you need to eat? Those days when I first entered university, you know, as a child, when I was at home, if I'm sick, mommy, I'm not feeling well. Pele, mommy, you know, Pele, your mother will take very good care of you. You know, she will take care of you. Then I now went to university. Nah, look, every man for himself, man. God for us all. No party for jungle. You mean that they used to drink medicine? No, believe me. Drink medicine. You couldn't get me to swallow one tablet. Then once I feel small, I will tap my friend. Muyi, I beg. Let's go to clinic. We have gone to the clinic on campus. Whatever the man prescribes, I drink rapidly. Do you understand? Because mommy is 4 hours away. There's nobody here to take care of you. That is the way it is. So I didn't enjoy the chloroquine. Who told you? You think I liked chloroquine? But I realized that for survival's sake, that is the way it is with the word of God. For survival's sake, you need it. For survival's sake, church, you need it. What you are imbibing today is what will determine what your life will be tomorrow. As a businessman, as a preacher, as a husband, as a wife, as a father, as a mother, as a grandparent, as a president, as a politician. It is what you are imbibing. As Christ is manifested in your life, so is glory and excellence manifested in your environment. Therefore, there is nothing like I don't enjoy it too. Do you get my point? They say, he that hath ears, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Let us pray.